Today is the sixth day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we bring in for a landing another week. So we have this rhythm, this weekly rhythm of beginnings and endings. Life kind of has that rhythm. So just kind of marking the rhythm, the pattern, and engaging with it and allowing ourselves to be pulled forward through it is, well, I don't know, important for me anyway. So we're at the end of a week, and all you remember, it was brand new and shiny and sparkly, and we were all looking out over it together, and now these are the final embers of it. How did that go? You know, like we made some goals and intentions. Now reflecting back, that can be, you know, especially if we just fell flat on our face all week long and blew everything. That can bring shame. It's really not the purpose. I think more curiosity, like, okay, how did it go? Just curious. And if it went horribly, then it's noted, like, okay. Because then you can kind of trace back anything you want and see where it kind of went off the rails. And instead of just beating ourselves or gossiping about everybody else, you just kind of reflect, see how these things happen, and continue moving forward, because we're actually getting better at this. You know, we're actually getting better at this. And if we keep going, we might get good. So I am grateful to be here with you today reflecting back, and grateful to be here with you today to take the next step forward. And that next step forward leads us into a new book. We finished 2 Samuel yesterday, so we're going to begin today the book of 1 Kings. And in a lot of ways, we're just continuing the story forward from the books of Samuel. You remember, for 2 Samuel, for 2 Kings, they were all one very large manuscript at one point. And they've even had different names over history. So we're, in many ways, just picking up the story. These books of Kings, even though they've been broken apart, they share the same history. And they mimic, in a lot of ways, what we will read after the Kings, the First and Second Chronicles that will follow. It's the same point in history, observed from two different vantage points. So in the books of Kings, more prominence will be given to the royals and their stories and their interaction with the prophets. Whereas in the books of Chronicles, the priestly and the Levitical offices, they will offer their perspective on the same time period. And that gives great nuances to some of the figures that we read and the stories that we read and what we find out. So let's pay attention to that. As we begin 1 Kings, we will witness the end of King David's reign and the dramatic ascension of his son Solomon to the throne. Solomon will guide Israel into peace and abundance as they faithfully worship God and keep their word and be faithful. We'll witness the first temple get erected as worship and praise take an irreversible, iconic place in Hebrew culture to allow emotion through voice and melody. Solomon will lead Israel into its actual finest hour, like the finest moment that we will reach on this journey with the Hebrew people that we began with Abraham back in the book of Genesis. The pinnacle moment is just in front of us. Solomon leads us into the finest hour. And then unfortunately, we also begin to watch things begin to unravel as Solomon approaches the end of his life and reign. And then after Solomon's death, Israel will divide into two nations, two kingdoms. These will be known as the Northern Kingdom of Israel, which is 10 of the tribes in the north, and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. The stories of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, very, very dramatic people, very engaging stories, very engaging people. They will start to weave into the story, and then finally, we will watch military overthrow come to the land as both of the kingdoms eventually fall. Thankfully, all will not be lost. That's sort of this redemptive story. All is not lost if God's people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. So, as with all the Bible, we'll find ourselves in these pages. Like the children of Israel, we'll often find ourselves in waves, right? Ebb and flow with God, back and forth. The books of Kings show us all the outcomes of being faithful, the outcomes of being unfaithful. One thing will be true throughout all of what we read: God is always faithful. And so we begin 1 Kings chapter 1. King David had become very old. His servants covered him with blankets, but he couldn't stay warm. They said to him, "Allow us to find a young woman for our master, the king. She will serve the king and take care of him by lying beside our master, the king, and keeping him warm." So they looked in every corner of Israel until they found Abishag from Shunem. They brought her to the king. She was very beautiful. She cared for the king and served him, but the king didn't have sex with her. Adonijah, Haggith's son, bragged about himself and said, "I'll rule as king myself." He got his own chariot and horses with 50 runners to go in front. Now Adonijah's father had never given him direction. He never questioned why Adonijah did what he did. He was very handsome and was born after Absalom. He took advice from Joab, Zeruiah's son, and from the priest Abiathar. They assisted Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Jehoiada's son Benaiah, the prophet Nathan, Shimei and his friends, and David's veterans didn't join Adonijah. So Adonijah prepared lamb, oxen, and fattened cattle at the stone of Zoelet, next to En-Rogel. He invited his brothers, the royal princes, and all the citizens of Judah, who were the royal servants, to come. But he didn't invite the prophet Nathan, Benaiah, David's veterans, or his brother Solomon. Nathan said to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Did you hear that Adonijah, Haggith's son, has become king, but our master David doesn't know about it? Let me give you some advice on how you and your son Solomon can survive this. Go to King David and say, 'Didn't my master the king swear to your servant, your son Solomon will certainly rule after me. He will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king?' While you are speaking there with the king, I'll come along and support your words." So Bathsheba went to the king in his bedroom. The king was very old, and Abishag from Shunem was serving the king. Bathsheba bowed down on her face before the king. The king asked, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Your Majesty, you swore by the Lord your God to your servant, 'Your son Solomon will certainly rule after me. He will sit on my throne.' But now look, Adonijah has become king, and my master the king doesn't know about it. He has prepared large quantities of oxen, fattened cattle, and lamb. He has invited all the royal princes, as well as Abiathar the priest and Joab the general. However, he didn't invite your servant Solomon. As for you, my master the king, the eyes of all Israel are upon you to tell them who will follow you on the throne of my master the king. When my master the king lies down with his ancestors, then I and my son Solomon will become outlaws." While she was still speaking with the king, the prophet Nathan arrived. The king was informed, "The prophet Nathan is here." Then Nathan came in before the king and bowed his face to the ground. He said, "My master, the king, you must have said Adonijah will become king after me and will sit on my throne. Indeed, today he went down and prepared oxen, fattened cattle, and lamb in large numbers. He invited all the royal princes, the generals, and Abiathar the priest. They are eating and drinking with him. And they said, 'Long live King Adonijah!' Adonijah didn't invite me, your servant, Zadok the priest, Jehoiada's son Benaiah, or your servant Solomon. If this message was from my master the king, you didn't make it known to your servant. Who should follow you on the throne of my master the king?" King David answered, "Bring me Bathsheba." She came and stood before the king. The king made a solemn pledge and said, "As surely as the Lord lives, who rescued me from every trouble regarding what I swore to you by the Lord, Israel's God, your son Solomon will certainly succeed me. He will sit on the throne after me. I'll see that it happens today." Bathsheba bowed down with her face to the ground. She honored the king and said, "May my master, King David, live forever." King David said, "Bring me Zadok the priest, the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah, Jehoiada's son." They came to the king, who said to them, "Take with you the servants of your masters. Put my son Solomon on my mule and bring him down to Gion. There, Zadok the priest and the prophet Nathan will anoint him king over Israel. Blow the ram's horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' You will follow him. He will enter and sit on my throne, and so he will succeed me as king. I have appointed him to become ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah, Jehoiada's son, responded to the king, "Yes, may it happen as the Lord, the God of my king, says. Just as the Lord was with my master, the king, so may he be with Solomon. May his throne be even greater than the throne of my master, King David." Zadok the priest, the prophet Nathan, Jehoiada's son Benaiah, and the Keratites and the Pelatites went down to put Solomon on King David's mule. They led him to Gion. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. They blew the ram's horn, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." All the people followed him, playing flutes and celebrating. The ground shook at their noise. Adonijah and all his invited guests heard this when they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the ram's horn, he said, "What's that noise coming from the city?" While he was still speaking, Jonathan, Abiathar, the priest's son, arrived. Adonijah said, "Come on in. You are an honest man and will bring a good report." Jonathan replied to Adonijah, "No, our master, King David, has made Solomon king. To support him, the king sent along Zadok the priest, the prophet Nathan, Benaiah, Jehoiada's son, and the Keratites and the Pelatites. They've put Solomon on the royal mule. Zadok the priest and the prophet Nathan have anointed him king at Gion." They went up from there celebrating, so that the city was thrown into a commotion. That is the sound you heard. There's more. Solomon has taken over the throne of the kingdom. The royal attendants blessed our master, King David. May your God make Solomon's name better than your name. May God elevate his throne above your throne." The king then worshipped on his bed and said, "Bless Israel's God, the Lord, who today has set my son on my throne and has allowed my eyes to see it." Trembling with fear, All of Adonijah's guests got up and fled, each going a different way. Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he got up and went to grab hold of the horns of the altar. Solomon was told, "Look, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and has grabbed the horns of the altar. He's saying, King Solomon must swear to me first that he won't execute his servant with the sword." Solomon said, "If he shows himself to be an honorable person, then not a hair of his head will be harmed. But if any evil is found in him, he will die." King Solomon sent word and had him brought down from the altar. He came and bowed down to King Solomon. Solomon said to him, "Go home." Acts 4. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them. They were incensed that the apostles were teaching the people and announcing that the resurrection of the dead was happening because of Jesus. They seized Peter and John and put them in prison until the next day. It was already evening. Many who heard the word became believers, and their number grew to about 5,000. The next day, the leaders, elders, and legal experts gathered in Jerusalem, along with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and asked, "By what power or in what name did you do this?" And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, answered, "Leaders of the people and elders, are we being examined today because something good was done for a sick person? A good deed that healed him? If so, then you and all the people of Israel need to know that this man stands healthy before you because of the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He has become the cornerstone. Salvation can be found in no one else. Throughout the whole world, no other name has been given among humans through which we must be saved." The council was caught by surprise by the confidence with which Peter and John spoke. After all, they understood that these apostles were uneducated and inexperienced. They also recognized that they had been followers of Jesus. However, since the healed man was standing with Peter and John before their own eyes, they had no rebuttal. After ordering them to wait outside, the council members began to confer with each other. "What should we do with these men? Everyone living in Jerusalem is aware of the sign performed through them. It's obvious to everyone, and we can't deny it. To keep it from spreading further among the people, we need to warn them not to speak to anyone in this name." When they called Peter and John back, they demanded that they stop all speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. Peter and John responded, "It's up to you to determine whether it's right before God to obey you rather than God. As for us, we can't stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." They threatened them further, then released them. Because of public support for Peter and John, they couldn't find a way to punish them. Everyone was praising God for what had happened, because the man who had experienced this sign of healing was over 40 years old. After their release, Peter and John returned to the brothers and sisters and reported everything the chief priests and elders had said. They listened, then lifted their voices in unison to God. "Master, you are the one who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. You are the one who spoke by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers gathered together as one against the Lord and against his Christ. Indeed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with Gentiles and Israelites, did gather in this city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and plan had already determined would happen. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with complete confidence. Stretch out your hand to bring healing and enable signs and wonders to be performed through the name of Jesus, your holy servant. After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking God's word with confidence. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Joseph, whom the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, that is, one who encourages, was a Levite from Cyprus. He owned a field, sold it, brought the money, and placed it in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Psalm 124, a pilgrimage song of David. If the Lord hadn't been for us, let Israel now repeat. If the Lord hadn't been for us, when those people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up whole with their rage burning against us. Then the waters would have drowned us. The torrent would have come over our necks. Then the raging waters would have come over our necks. Bless the Lord because he didn't hand us over, like food for our enemies' teeth. We escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. The trap was broken, so we escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are flowing honey, sweet to the taste and healing to the bones. Father, I guess we start there and ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we control our language and be people of pleasant words that flow like honey, that are sweet to the taste and healing to the bones. We thank you for this week that we have navigated together. We thank you that this is how we grow. We experience, we live, we observe, we correct, we get curious, and you are always there, whether we are paying attention or not, to lead and guide us into the truth. And so, may you plant what has been read and all the things we have considered this week into the soil of our lives, and may it grow and be bountiful fruit for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, as you know. And as you know, everything's new around here. And so if you haven't yet, kind of taking the leap over to even check it out, because you listen a different way, take the leap over and check it out. Because everything's pretty well dialed in, and having the app allows so much more interaction, allows so much more depth in interacting with the scriptures themselves. All kinds of resources that each day, when we visit a place in the Bible, we get to visit that place in life, what it actually looks like now. I really make a connection to the geography, and that actually matters a lot in our journey in the Bible and just so many other things. Grab the new app from the App Store. Check out the new websites and just take 5 minutes to familiarize yourself, and really just a 5 minutes stroll around the app, and you'll see what I'm saying. There's so much more and so much new there. And so be sure to check it out. If you want to partner with a Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. There's no way there'd be any of this whatsoever if we were not in this together. And here we are, you know, in the month of June, the sixth month of the 21st year, 7 days a week. So thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Dear Lord, this is Brenda asking everyone to help pray for my family. We are struggling with my dad, who has a second bout of cancer, and he's losing weight. He has very rough days after the treatments, and he's just struggling. But the good thing, he doesn't lose faith in God. He accepts everything that is happening to him. And I also pray for my mom, who has dementia. Please give me the strength to deal with it. I've never dealt with that before, and it's very frustrating for me. I need all the patience, Lord, that you can give me. Please, I need it. I really need it, because I become very frustrated. At the end of the day, she has good days, but then she has very bad days. I'm just asking to please keep her on an even keel, and give me patience on dealing with things in this house. It's overwhelming at times, dealing with the cancer, my mom's dementia, and trying to keep up with the house and everything else, then not having any time for myself. So please, I'm asking for all the patience that you can give us. Please also, Lord, help Lillian, who's suffering with COPD. Please help her to get well, to get better, and not relapse on not wanting to do for herself. All this I pray. Amen.
Anonymous in California, I'm praying for you today. Praying, Lord, that, oh Lord, just pray for this couple. I pray for a softness in spirit. I thank you, Lord, for Anonymous's heart, that he's open and willing to change, and that he's able to know what he's done maybe wrong in the marriage. And I pray for his spouse, Lord, that you will just allow her to have different eyes to see. Sometimes we as women believe lies that are in the world, that it's only better if we have a different spouse or a different house or a new car or clothes or whatever. And I pray, Lord, that if that's the case, that you will allow her to see that what she has is good and right, and that they can move on and have a wonderful life. And I pray, Lord, if that's not the case, that, Lord, that you're just going to bring joy and peace. Please encourage Anonymous today. Please give him a new eyes to see the situation. And I thank you, Lord, for him and his prayers. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just bringing him through. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today, tomorrow, and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Helen Phillips calling from Cardiff in South Wales, UK. I've been listening for over 15 years, and I'm so encouraged by all of your messages and prayers. But today, I really am seeking prayer for my wonderful sister, Hilary. She has been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and although she's already beat the one-year prognosis, and she's in her towards the end of her second year, her health is really failing now. She's got neuropathy in her hands and feet. She's struggling with balance, day-to-day functioning, processing information is really hard. She can't drive, she can hardly walk. And I really am praying for salvation. I'm praying for a transformation in her and her family. And of course, I would love prayer for healing. And don't believe me, my prayer for healing is on my lips all day for her, but it's for her and her young family. She's in her early 50s and she has teenage children. Please pray for Hilary, my darling sister. And thank you. Thank you, Dabbers. I love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, as we face the challenges ahead, we humbly ask for a steadfast determination not to give up. Strengthen our resolve, Father, helping us to persevere through every obstacle and carry through to the very end. Instill in us a spirit of resilience, knowing that with you, all things are possible. May our faith remain unshaken, even when the path seems difficult or unclear. Guide our steps and renew our strength daily so we can honor you in every trial. We pray for the courage to complete the race you've set before us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I'm calling from New Jersey. And I'm just requesting prayer for Xavier Taylor and the Taylor family. Most importantly, for direction on what God wants from me as a believer and as a friend of the family. The Lord has put on my heart to visit, and I would just like encouragement and prayer for when I go to the hospital to visit the boy on the ventilator. He is in an induced coma, and we're just praying for his brain to continue to heal and lessen the swelling. So please continue to pray. We covet your prayers, and we thank you so much from me and from the Taylor family. Thank you isn't even enough. Just continue to pray for their family. Thank you so much.
Hello. My name is Juana, and I'm from Texas. I have three children, Maria, Daniel, and Odilia. They are now 35, 32, and 28. Maria, I'm asking for prayer for her to get a new job. I know and I believe that the Lord, there's nothing impossible for him, and that he loves us more than we can love us or our children. And I'm asking for prayer for Daniel, for his eyes to be completely and totally healed. And I'm asking for my daughter, Odilia. I pray, Father, that she receives, that she is able to get a new home for her and her children and her husband. And I pray that my grandson, David, his skin is healed. He has dry skin, just like my children, but I pray that the Lord break those curses off of my children's skin. And I pray for my other two grandchildren. I pray for all of their protection. I pray that the Lord protects them all of their lives. And since 2006, I have been a widow since I was 32. I am now 52. And June the 25th will be my 20th year of being a widow. I do not like being alone. My children have grown and they have left, and I understand that there are things that the Lord needs to work out of me, but I'm asking the Lord to give me my husband and to give my daughter Maria her husband. One day I asked the Lord to give her her husband, and he said, let her get married. And I asked the Lord to forgive me for not allowing it. I've never stopped her. She's never had a boyfriend, but I'm praying for her husband now.